In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This last week, for the daily epistle readings, we've been reading from the epistle to the Ephesians. And on Wednesday, there was a reading that talked about something that we hear mentioned in the services with some regularity, and so I thought it would be worth taking some time to talk about what it means. And that's the mystery hidden from before the ages. That's a phrase you hear often in the services. So what is the mystery that was hidden from before the ages? Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, talks about it. It says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through him in faith." St. Paul talks about this mystery in several places, particularly in a couple places in the epistle to the Ephesians, but also in Colossians and to some extent in Galatians. So what is this mystery? Well, first of all, it's God's eternal purpose that was from before the ages that he would save man through the incarnation of Christ, that he would come as a man, that he would die on a cross to pay for our sins, that he would rise from the dead, and that by doing so, he would unite all those who believe in him into one, both Jews and Gentiles, and he would also unite those on earth with those in heaven who believe in him. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, he says, "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth." So when he talks about the dispensation, the fullness of time, there's quite a bit to ponder there. Why did Christ come at the particular time that he did? Well, we're told in several places that it was because it was the fullness of time. God's plan was ready. The world was ready to hear the gospel. At the time that Christ came, you had an empire that covered quite a bit of the globe, that had a unified system to where things could spread very rapidly. You also had a language, the Greek language, which was a language of trade that extended well beyond the Roman Empire. And you also had Jews who had been dispersed by the exile all over the Middle East, North Africa, and into Europe. And these Jews had the Old Testament faith, and so they formed the first basis that the church formed when the apostles came and they spread the faith among all those in these various places. The first place they would go would be to the Jewish synagogue. And many of those Jews typically would embrace the faith, and many of them would not. But among those Jews that embraced the faith, they formed the kernel of the church of that area. And then you also had the Jews by that time had managed to attract many pagans to at least have an interest in their faith, and they were referred to as God-fearers. But in the case of the men, at least, the biggest hindrance was the need for circumcision. And that's one of the things that St. Paul spends quite a bit of time talking about, is that Old Testament symbol of the covenant was no longer necessary for one to enter into the church. What was necessary was the circumcision not made by hands, which is baptism. Also, what's encompassed in this mystery hidden from the ages is the fact that Christ has come that we might receive the gift of adoption, that we might become sons and daughters of God. In Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, he says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, he says, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 8, he says, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And as I mentioned before, the word Abba is a word you could roughly translate into English as daddy. It's not a formal term. It's the term that a child would use in reference to their own father. And it speaks of a close relationship. And prior to Christ teaching the Lord's Prayer, you don't find in Judaism or really in any other religion people referring to God in these kinds of intimate terms. But that's what it means to be a Christian, that we are sons and daughters of God, and that we can speak to him and pray to him as a child speaks to their own father, and we can trust him because we know that he loves us just like we love our own children. Also encompassed in this mystery is the fact that Christ comes and he dwells in us. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 25, says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery, that Christ is in us. He's not somebody that's out separated from us, somebody that we have no connection with, but Christ is actually in us. And that's manifested most directly when we receive the holy mysteries and we take the body and blood of Christ into ourselves. If we do that worthily, that's the most intimate connection we can have with Christ this side of heaven. And in this mystery, we also see the fullness of the love that God has for us. This continues with the Wednesday reading, with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and following. He says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so what he's saying there is that you may be able to comprehend the width, the length, and depth, and the height of the love of God, because it's such an immeasurable thing, but we see it manifested in the fact that Christ came, he humbled himself, became a man, and he took on the punishment that we should have suffered, and suffered the most horrible death imaginable, and then he rose from the dead. And he did all that because he loves us. And he's long-suffering and he's patient with us and he's constantly reaching out to us. He reaches out to us like a father does to his son. And we see that in the parable of the prodigal son, where the father is ever there waiting for the son to return to him, and he doesn't tap his toes and wait for him to say the right words, but he runs out to meet him and he embraces him. And he treats him like a son, even though he had been a wayward son and had sinned against his father. That's the kind of love that we have from God, and that's the mystery that was hidden before the ages. That was not understood by people before the coming of Christ fully. It was imaged in the Old Testament. People comprehended it to some extent, but it's revealed fully in the person of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 28, says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to the working which works in me mightily. Receiving this mystery gives us a responsibility, because there's many people who have no idea what this mystery is. And they're only going to see that in our lives, and if we tell them. We have to tell them, but our lives have to confirm what we say. And they're going to pay more attention to what we do than to what we say. So it's important that we enter deeply into our faith, that we understand it, that we live it, and that we explain it to those that are around us. I'll end with the final words of the Wednesday epistle reading, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever.